Hi, everyone, and welcome into this week's edition of Texans Huddle. Week two of OTAs, organized team activities underway here at NRG Stadium. Hi, everyone. I'm Patty Smith alongside Brian Smith from the Houston Chronicle, my usual partner, Mark Vandermeer. Not here this week. Lucky you, lucky me.
Mark, just taking it off. Not really putting in the work like he used
slacker.
To. Slacker. Total slacker.
He gets the big position and off he goes.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, week two of organized team activities going on behind us as we speak. And, Brian, some news and notes. You're the guy out there each and every day. Get us a little bit caught up.
Yeah, I think the number one thing, it's going to be this way until this team plays its first regular season game. When is Andre Johnson going to be back? When are they going to get him in uniform? It hasn't happened yet. It's probably not going to happen through OTAs. He said that a couple weeks ago. The mandatory camp, I don't think that'll happen. I actually think it's going to take until Andre Johnson believes he has some leverage, which is going to be early training camp, midway through training camp, before we see him in uniform again with the Texans. Number two thing was that there was a promising bit that Brian Cushing is expected to be back for training camp. Now, he's been medically green-lighted. He's been cleared. It's not a health issue. It's more just getting it right, taking the time. He's coming off back-to-back season-ending injuries. They don't want to rush him right now.
Well, and Coach O'Brien just said even not even having him on the field isn't even as important to the team as just having him out there and being a part of this team and helping out these young guys. And Coach O'Brien really doing a lot of work during these OTAs, and it's not just random. These guys have they've got a plan, they've got a schedule, and they know exactly what they're doing out there.
No, you're totally right. And look, this thing started the first day of OTA, so where they're just gradually putting in the systems, because it's not just one system, it's two systems. You're talking about an offensive system with George Godsey and Bill O'Brien, and then a defensive system, a new 3-4 defense with kind of a two-gap set that's a change from last year under Wade Phillips that you have Romeo Crennel. So they've got to do it step by step. They're on schedule right now, and I think out of everything else that's going on with this team, that's the most promising thing. You have the rookies, you have a new quarterback, you have a new defense, you don't have Cushing, you don't have Andre Johnson, but Bill O'Brien says they're on schedule, and right now that's really all you can ask for during OTAs.
We have a installation schedule, so week one was basically first and second down, and then this week is different situations, including first and second down. So third down, being backed up, red area, we'll work different protections now, five-man protections against all the different blitzes that our defense will throw at the offense. So, and then the following week, next week, we'll get more into red area and two-minute and four-minute offense. And then in the mandatory camp at the end there, the third week of June, we'll try to put it all together. But, yeah, we try to stay on an installation schedule based on field position or situational football or whatever it might be. So there's kind of a theme to every single day.
Obviously, some veterans are going to know a little bit more. It's going to come to them a little bit easier because they've been in it. But, like I was just saying, for me, I'm treating it like it's my rookie year all over again. I'm just trying to learn it from scratch, just like every single rookie is. I think if I do that, I'll learn the nuances, ins and outs, and I could be able to help the younger guys out faster.
Well, Chris definitely knows what he's doing out there. I know he's one of those veterans that's helping these rookies out there. But when you look at this entire team, whether it's offense, whether it's defense, usually it's defense is a little bit ahead of the offense. What are you seeing out there as far as them picking up these installments and just kind of where they are right now?
That's unquestionably the case right now. Look, with the defense, it's not that much of a change. You're doing the two-gap system. You're bringing in Romeo Crennel. You have to take Jadeveon Clowney and make him an outside linebacker. You have to move Brooks Reed inside. But really, it's still a 3-4 defense. Offensively is where it's going to be the biggest hurdle for this team. And it's not just going to be during the OTAs or training camp. It's going to be all season. You're going to have a new starting quarterback, a new offensive coordinator, a new head coach. No Andre Johnson right now. Arian Foster's coming back from an injury. That's just a lot of change for an offense during a very limited time where you can't hit anybody, you can't really do too much. It's all about planning and video work and the playbook. They just have a lot to learn in a very limited time. And one of the things that we can see right now is you look at the running backs and the depth this team has a running back position. Arian Foster, I think, is the one guy who's ahead of schedule right now. He looks great. He's healthy. He's motivated. He's catching the ball well. He's running well. Bill O'Brien talked about that. Behind him, you have Andre Brown, free agent they picked up from the New York Giants, Alfred Blue, the rookie running back from LSU, and then Dennis Johnson, who got a little bit of use last year. He could be there, but right now I think if this team had to play a game tomorrow, it would be the running backs and the running game and Arian Foster are out of the backfield catching passes that would carry this team offensively, because the downfield passing, trying to stretch the field, that's just going to be a long time coming for this offense.
Well, let's hear what Coach O'Brien had to say about these running backs.
We have Andre Brown, who's had a good offseason for us. He's a first and second down back, a big back, a conscientious guy, hard worker. You've got Alfred Blue that we drafted out of LSU that looks like a guy that's a good learner, and we'll have to evaluate him more come training camp as to see how he fits in our offense. You've got J.J. Grimes that's come in here and had a good offseason. Dennis Johnson has done some good things lately in practice. So we've got a good competitive position there.
And Brian, one other aspect of the game, not offense, not defense, but special teams, and some of these running backs, some of these guys may be a potential to not try out, but I know there's auditions. It's kind of a wide open thing right now, a very important position to this team, but tell us about special teams specifically as it pertains to punt and kickoff returns.
Yeah, look, the two most important things that Bill O'Brien has said thus far is, number one, we have a wide open competition at quarterback, which we knew going in it's going to be Fitzpatrick or Keenum or Yates or Tom Savage, but number two, wide open at special teams. And if you're a team that's rebuilding and you don't know if you can count on your offense, your defense is going to be really strong but weak at times, you have to have strong special teams. Randy Bullock, the kicker, had issues but last year and then got stronger, but the main thing is the punt return and the kickoff return game. Last year, it was Keyshawn Martin. I actually thought Martin, toward the end of the year, showed some promise and started to find it, but you're going to have a new full-time coach in Bobby Lukoszewski who took the job over at the end of last year. He's very promising. He works the guys really hard. They believe in him. But other than that, it's wide open. And look, you could see a wide receiver, returning punts and returning kickoffs. You could see maybe a star running back who I think everybody knows actually step into that role, and that would be a shocker. But everything's on the board right now, and O'Brien is trying to create competition. He wants it at running back. He wants it at wide receiver, quarterback. He wants it at special teams. And I would not be surprised for them to kind of go outside the box if it's not Martin. You saw that in New England, and granted, that wasn't O'Brien's call. But, you know, getting somebody who's smaller and quicker or somebody who's able to really hit that acceleration pedal, which Keyshawn Martin really doesn't have, I think that's what they're going to be looking for. And this is a battle that's going to start. It started this week. It's going to keep going throughout training camp.
Yeah, special teams definitely at the forefront this week.
You know, I've just seen a lot of guys out there competing, which is good. And I've seen guys with different skill sets as far as how they catch the ball and how they judge the ball and things like that. And then what we're all looking for there is a guy that can field the kick, first of all, and then make a play with the ball. So that's basically, you know, what we're looking for at that position.
You know, I feel like, you know, the coaches, they're going to pick who they feel is best for the team. And the only thing I can do is just compete out there and just have fun every day.
Well, Keyshawn definitely taking his role very seriously. Again, a successful season last year. I know special teams is important to him, but also just as important and maybe a key role for him is also being a wide receiver.
Yeah, and look, they need a slot receiver, and that has been one of the trademarks of Bill O'Brien's offenses, whether it was with the Patriots or on and on, and that's just where the NFL is right now. We see that with the Broncos. You see that with the Patriots. The teams that can stretch the field, use their running back, which they're going to try and do with Arian Foster out of the backfield, but also find that slot receiver, and it's probably going to be either Keyshawn Martin or Devier Posey. I think right now, if I'm going off last year, it's Posey. He had the strong rookie season. He had the major injury. He never really got going last year. It's going to come down to him and Martin, likely, because they have the experience and they've been proven within this system. They know two of the four quarterbacks. But Bill O'Brien's looking for that because, look, Andre Johnson might take some time to work back into this offense. He has to learn a new system. DeAndre Hopkins was impressive last year overall, but too inconsistent at times. He has to take that step forward. They'll use Arian out of the backfield, but they need that slot receiver, and I would not be surprised at all for this team this season. All of a sudden, you go from having a third receiver who maybe catches 20 passes to somebody who's catching 40 or 50. That's what they need out of this offense.
All right, great job. Thank you for stepping in for Mark. Mark, if you're watching, I suggest you get back. This guy is after your job.
Stay on vacation, Mark. It's cool.
We have to take a timeout here on Texas Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, I'll go one-on-one with quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Now, head coach Bill O'Brien has made it very clear that the quarterback position for the 2014 Houston Texans is wide open, although I think everyone's pretty sure at this point that that's exactly what Ryan Fitzpatrick was brought in for, and he will at least start the season at that spot. Now, most of us remember our first introduction to Ryan Fitzpatrick back in 2005 when he was with the Rams, came here to Reliance Stadium, his NFL debut, lit the Texans up. He came in late in the game, brought the Rams back for an overtime victory over the Texans, throwing for over 300 yards and three touchdowns. Well, now, thankfully, he's a Houston Texan and couldn't be happier.
Fitzpatrick under center, one back. It's Steven Jackson. Fitzpatrick looks to his right, now throws it to the left side. Got a man at the 50, the 45, the 40, the 30, the 20, the 10, 5. Touchdown, Kevin Curtis. The Rams break the hearts of the Houston Texans.
Ryan, I know it's early here in the process in OTAs, but the 10th season for you, what stands out as being different coming into this Houston Texans organization?
You know what, it's a fun time to be a Texan right now. I think everybody's really excited about the upcoming season just because the focus and intensity and even the success that a lot of the coaches here have had in other places. And it's definitely a different atmosphere from a lot of them I've been around, just in terms of how much these coaches, you know, want to win and how much they ask of us as players. It's been fun.
Well, you know, we hear that. It's different, the intensity, whether it's the tempo, all these things that are just different. And you have been in other organizations, four or five of them, whatever. But can you be a little bit more specific? Like, what is it that makes it different?
Well, it's the fact that even in something as maybe simple and mundane as a walkthrough, you're expected to be perfect. And they just place a big emphasis on the details. They place a big emphasis in you being a professional and taking this serious, you know, as a job, and putting 100% of your focus into your work while you're here in the building. And it's something that, you know, they certainly do a good job of.
So coming here, sort of, you know, take us through what you feel like you bring here, what your expectations were coming here, knowing the quarterback situation and kind of just your role.
Well, Coach O'Brien, you know, he said you're going to have the ability to compete. And for me, and being now in my 10th year, that's all I can ask for, you know, is a chance to be able to compete and do whatever I can to make this team better. You know, and that's what I was brought in here to do. Whatever I can do, whether it's little things in the film room and, you know, maybe bringing some of my experience to some of those discussions, or, you know, doing things out on the field, whatever I can do to make the team better is what I'm here to do.
We all remember back 2005, that game against the Houston Texans. You're on the other side, down 21 points. I believe that was your NFL debut, was it not?
Yeah, that was my debut. Yeah, I'd started the season as a fourth stringer and made the team as a third stringer, and then Mark Bolger got hurt, and Jamie Martin started that game and ended up getting hurt. I came in, you know, not really knowing what was going on, and we ended up coming back and winning. And it was just a funny feeling, I remember, because I was thinking to myself, man, this is not as hard as people told me it was going to be. And then I came back to reality shortly thereafter with the next few games. But, yeah, that was a fun memory for me.
110 yards, I believe, 3 touchdowns, and then full circle all these years later, you are now at Houston Texans. Funny how things work out that way.
Yeah, it is. It's always been a stadium I've been fond of, so I'm looking forward to playing in it some more.
All right, well, tell us a little bit about yourself off the field.
Man, I've got 4 kids now, and so that definitely keeps me busy. I like to golf, and you know, I'm at the age right now where there's a wedding every other weekend, so traveling and seeing friends or whatever it is. But the kids definitely consume most of the time right now. But they're awesome, 2 boys and 2 girls, and yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'll add to the family. Who knows?
All right. Well, good luck this season.
Thank you.
Well, everyone says you have to be a smart player to play for head coach Bill O'Brien, and clearly Ryan Fitzpatrick is just that. All right, we have to take a timeout here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. I've got another smart guy coming back. We'll visit with Houston Texans analyst John Harris. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now are Houston Texans analyst John Harris. Thanks for being back on the show.
Thanks, Patty. Appreciate you having me back.
You heard earlier we talked a little bit about the running backs as a whole, but you and I have been sitting here talking about Arian Foster, and really just, you know, coming into this season not knowing exactly what to expect from him. Early on, the returns are looking pretty good.
They are looking pretty good. He looks healthy, and that's probably the biggest thing. But when Bill O'Brien took this job, I remember thinking that very day, Arian Foster is going to benefit as long as he's healthy from this offense the most because of the way he can catch the football. With no Andre Johnson out at OTAs, and some people may argue with this, I find no argument at all, the fact that Arian is the best pure receiver, the best hands this group has right now. He's so smooth catching the football. His receiving technique is so very good. You can put him at really any spot as a receiver, and he still will catch the ball very well. I think the Texans are going to find a million ways, a multitude of ways to get him the football in the receiving game. The key is going to be they can't get him the 400-plus touches or near 400-plus touches that really can start to wear him down. They're going to have to find more creative ways to get him the ball. I think Bill O'Brien and George Gotze will do that, but they've got to make sure they don't use him too much so that by 14, 15, 16, week 14, 15, 16, he's still 100% healthy or as close as he can be during NFL season.
So your expectations in the usage of Arian as we head into this next season, and no knock on the previous coaching staff by any stretch, but maybe underutilized as a receiver based on what we're seeing. I mean, I'm seeing him pull down some one-hand catches, just doing some really neat things out there. It sounds like you expect him to be utilized in a little bit different way.
Different, I don't know if as much, and I think that's the key. You know, in the 2012 season, he got up, Arian did, upwards of 393, 394 touches. That's a lot of touches. Here's the other thing. If you do limit his touches, the other thing you have to be careful of is he's as good a pass-protecting running back as you're going to find in the NFL. So from that standpoint, he's going to get physical on those downs even when he's not touching the ball. So one of the other running backs is going to have to step up and take some of that heat off him so he's not on the field for all three downs. But what separates Arian from a lot of running backs, I think, throughout the league is that he is such a good receiver, but he is such a great pass protector too. Not to mention he's one of the great running backs from any running formation, be it a power scheme, zone scheme, blast scheme. He's the complete running back. Got to keep him healthy, get him those touches, and he can impact this offense in so many different ways.
We've talked about receiving. Of course, you mentioned Andre Johnson is yet to be seen out here. A couple of the guys have missed some time. Bill O'Brien talked about a couple of the rookies that weren't here. And the guys that are not here, how far behind are they realistically?
Well, the installation is going pretty quickly. I mean, these guys are picking it up, and there's a lot going on. With George Gotze, and you can hear him from where we're standing, you can hear the play call. It takes a little while to get all that out and what verbiage means to each particular position. Now, the quarterbacks, and Tom Savage, one of those guys that missed for the rookie premiere out in Los Angeles, it probably sets him back a little bit. Did it set back to Devion Clowney? Probably not as much. But quarterbacks, every single word in that play call means something to him. For receivers, for running backs, sometimes not everything means something to them. For quarterbacks, they've got to be on it. So for Tom Savage, missing a day, missing a practice, that can set him back a little bit. Now it's up to him, and it's up to Jadeveon, too, to pick up what they missed. But the installation of the offense and defense, to me, has been fascinating to watch because it's different for everybody. Gary Kubiak had a scheme and had a way of doing things. Bill O'Brien and this staff, they've got a way of doing things, and it's just different. Not better, it's just different. I know people want to see it be better, and hopefully it will be with the production that's on the field and the record. But the fact is, it's just different. And Gary's way of doing it, Bill's way of doing it are completely different. But at that point, this offense being picked up the way it has thus far, I think it's been great. And the more they can pick it up quicker, as we all know, they'll be able to put in more and more as they go through. So I think those guys missing days sets them back a little bit, especially Tom, but I think they'll be able to pick it up. We still got another week OTA, still got mini camps, and then we got training camp. That's when it really matters. If Tom's got the offense down by then, he can get in that four quarterback competition.
We talk so much about these players, whether they're, you know, behind, whether they're ahead, learning curve, who's standing out, all that. But these coaches are out here as a unit, as a team for the first time as well. We've seen some interesting things from Coach Bill O'Brien. He's a very hands-on coach out there. But some of these other guys also learning how to work together as a unit.
Absolutely. And I'm fascinated by coaches. And I know you are too, Patty. I'm fascinated watching them. And, of course, I've known Bill for a long time. A number of these guys have worked together, some at Penn State. Mike Vrabel worked with Romeo Crennel for, you know, in a player-coach relationship. But seeing the coaches, and it's a weird word to use for coaches, but these coaches compete. Every drill is a competition, but they're always teaching, and that I love. And there's been a lot made about the music that's being played. But to me, the fun part of practice is when the music goes down and they teach. It's a really good group of instructors and teachers, and I love that. Even Bill, very hands-on with how he approaches his team at every level. He played defense in college. He's coached offense ever since. So he knows both sides of the ball pretty well. So he can teach individual techniques. You don't see that a lot from head coaches. They kind of distance themselves from that. But when he feels the need to do that, he can. I think that's what separates him a little bit from other head coaches in this league. And I think that's what's going to help him because the players can see him in a different role other than just CEO, leader, stand up on high. They could see him as an actual instructor and teacher, and I think the players will find out he's a pretty good one at that.
All right, well, great insight as always. Thanks so much. We have to take one final time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll wrap things up and give you a sneak peek into the Houston Texans cheerleader calendar. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Well, we've been giving you all the X's and O's of OTAs out here so far in this show. But, you know, these players have been doing a lot of pretty cool things this offseason. We had a chance to catch up with J.J. Watt and find out what his favorite part of the offseason has been.
My brothers and I took a trip to Europe. And for me, that was one of the best trips ever because we've never gotten to take a trip, all three of us, just the three brothers. And our schedules lined up just right. And with them playing at Wisconsin, me playing the NFL, it doesn't happen often. And so we got to go to Dublin, London, Paris, and Rome.
And be sure to tune in next week for the full one-on-one sit-down interview with J.J. Watt. And don't forget about our hashtag Texans Huddle Summer. We are on location taking the show out on the road, looking for suggestions and ideas from you as to where you would like to see us. All right, from J.J. overseas to another group of Houston Texans that traveled overseas, our Houston Texans cheerleaders went to Puerto Rico for the making of the cheerleader calendar, and we leave you with that.
Hey Texans fans, here's a sneak peek of our swimsuit calendar shoot
in Puerto Rico!